Oh, good morning, Smashville, and thank you for joining us here. Hour number four, Friday edition, morning drive here on ESPN 102.5. The game, of course, big weekend of football coming up. Got the Preds tomorrow night after the 2-1 loss. Finally back home at Bridgestone Arena.
Yay!
The friendly confines. The power play still sucks, though. So
our Preds are bad.
0-5 last night. That's 0-15, I believe, in the three-game losing streak. And, oh, by the way, to add insult to injury, literally, Victor Arvidsson, 6 to 8 weeks with the thumb. And, of course, PK Subban on IR. So, listen, teams got depth. They got talent. They got great coaching and players. They'll figure out a way. They're back home now off the road trip. So, just kind of keep your head above water. Play decent hockey from here on out.
Keep your head above
okay. All right.
Making a way if you can. Okay. Temporary layoff. Good times.
I am completely thrown off.
Because you said keep your head above water.
I'm aware. I don't now know what to say now that you've started singing. It's hard to make me speechless.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. All right, so the SEC slate this weekend, obviously, 51-point favorite Alabama, 43-point favorite Georgia, 36-point favorite LSU, whatever. Not a lot of great football games amongst the meaningful teams. However, Vanderbilt and Ole Miss and Missouri and Tennessee, those are two football games this weekend that are huge. Have huge implications for all of these coaching staffs across the board, with the exception of the Ole Miss coaching staff, because even if they win, they can't actually go to a bowl game. But for Derek Mason, think about what this win would be in what is normally a very entertaining Ole Miss rivalry game. Lots of points being scored. What a win would mean for Derek Mason to get to 5-6 and have a chance to beat Tennessee 5 out of 7 times, not all Derek Mason, but 5 out of 7 if they were to beat Tennessee. If they were to win two games and get to a bowl game, even 5-7 with the APR could get them into a bowl game. So that means this Ole Miss game is huge this weekend for the Vanderbilt Commodores, just the same way Jeremy Pruitt's trying to get bowl eligible if they win and they beat Missouri this weekend.
I think the pressure is squarely on Derek Mason in this scenario. Because after talking with Josh Ward of WNML in Knoxville, this was about where people thought UT would be. 5.5 win, 5.5, over under 5.5. So if they win, if they just, lose the last two games, they're still at 5 wins. They won one of the two, then they're above what many thought they would be. If they get both of them, then wow, that's a monumental season, so to speak, for this program. So the pressure's on Derek Mason now, because this team is good enough to have been a 8-win team. They allow games to slip through their fingers. They had two games where they were winning headed into the third or fourth quarter, and they lost, end up losing both of them. They've had chances to beat the number, right now, currently the number 3 team in the country in Notre Dame. A fluke play happens, they lose the game on downs at the end. So to me, the pressure is on Derek Mason to get his team somehow, some way, to get this defense to stop an Ole Miss team that is averaging 37 points per game, and to get this offense to play consistently, which I think they will now that Keyshawn Vaughn is now in the offense fully healthy.
And Ole Miss defense is not very good. So
exactly. So they're giving up 36 points. So I would tend to believe that if they're giving up 36, Derek Mason's defense can at least hold them under,
How do you learn how to finish? How do you teach a bunch of kids how to finish?
I think
they've been in all these games.
Yeah, I think it's confidence. It's okay. I've done it once. I've done it twice. I can do it again. The sense of urgency should be there for these players, because you got a few of them that this could possibly, be their last opportunity to make it to a bowl game. I know Kyle Shermer. I know he doesn't want to leave his tenure here at Vandy not going to a bowl game. So this team has to fight. I don't think Coach Mason can say anything more to his team to get them finished. I mean, if you don't understand the ramifications of winning this game and then winning against UT, then you shouldn't be on this Vanderbilt team. Because they have to win. To me, they have to win both games in order to secure a spot in this bowl season.
Bowl-a-palooza.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there are enough of them that you know, like you said, they might get in at five, but who wants to?
Yeah, it doesn't feel the same.
Exactly. Absolutely.
It doesn't feel the same. Now, it's a tall task to beat Ole Miss and Tennessee, but this is the exact situation they were in the past where they beat Ole Miss and Tennessee and got to a bowl game.
Exactly.
So Derek Mason has done this before, and this is a beatable Ole Miss team, but Ole Miss can smoke you on offense. Tennessee, a beatable Tennessee team, but we've seen them play really good football as well. We've also seen them play really bad football against Charlotte and against really good teams. So there's really nothing. There's really no way to know what's to come. And in a week where we sort of laugh at the SEC for their bad scheduling, these are two monumental games for these coaching staffs in the state of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Pruitt's going to have for Drew Locke. That's from when we shift gears and go east and go to Knoxville. Uh-huh. We know what the issue is with Vanderbilt Ole Miss. Derek Mason and Jason Tarver have to get the defense to get a stop.
Exactly.
They
got
to get stops because I think the offense will score. What has to happen, and you got to pressure Jordan Tamu, but in Knoxville, I'm not sure what the sort of the matchup needs to be. Like, yes, Jared Garantano needs to be efficient and upright and protected. Yes, the Vols need to run the football. But Missouri chucks it around. Even if they get a lead, Missouri's still going to make some sort of comeback. I think it's about the secondary and Tennessee's backfield, which is young but talented. Can they make some plays against a quarterback who fits it into tight windows?
Yeah, they have to, you know, we talk a lot about keeping opposing teams behind the sticks, or, you know, whether it be, you know, Tennessee Titans, Vols, Vandy, staying ahead of the sticks. Well, because of, you know, we saw it last week where Drew Locke was able to put together a second half and end up pulling it out for Missouri. Can you keep Missouri behind the sticks? Can you keep them in third and seven plus? If you can, then I think that bodes well for you as a defensive unit. Even though college football is a little bit different from the pros, I still think if you put a team in third and long, it's very hard for them to capitalize. So they got to find a way, UT, to keep Missouri behind the sticks. And they have to rely heavy on their run game, I think, to keep Locke on the sideline rather than on the field. And I think that they're capable of doing it. If they play the way they play from a offensive standpoint, running the football, the way they played against Kentucky, and Missouri's defense is nowhere near Kentucky's defense, the front line anyway. If they can,
if
they can play that way, run the football, I think they have, what, like 200 and some yards running against Kentucky. If they can do that again for another week, then that gives them an opportunity to win this football game. But they got to almost play flawless football on offense. To win this game.
Yeah, 40 carries, 215 yards against Kentucky, 26 carries, 20 yards against Charlotte.
What team is it?
Who are they?
Like, that's a hot and cold right
there. I mean, Kentucky's supposed to be good on defense at that situation, mm-hmm. and Charlotte you should be able to manhandle. Drew Richmond was tossing people around. I don't know where that came from, but if they play like that again, then they can be in this game. But I agree with you. Offensively, they have to play flawlessly. Defensively, they have to play flawlessly. I don't want to feel like that this team – because, again, I have always said I think the Jeremy Pruitt's first season will be defined by these last three games. Mm-hmm. And so far, huge success, right? You beat number 11 in the nation. You did it in dominating fashion, the most complete game you've seen from this team in quite some time. Make it count, right? Make it worth something by going out and doing it again.
But even
you got to do that two more times. And if you do it 3-0, oh, my God, the sky is – the ceiling is the roof at that point, right?
Exactly, exactly, Michael Jordan. But even the way I look at it is – and I know how big this Vanderbilt thing is with UT. You know, you always want to beat your in-state rival. You always want to have that bragging rights for the whole season. I mean, for the whole calendar year. I get it. But even if, say, they don't beat Missouri and they don't beat Vandy, or they beat Missouri and lose to Vandy, I think it's still a win-win in any scenario for Jeremy Pruitt, because to me, you can see the turnaround in his team. You can, but yeah. They just don't have all of the talent, because I believe that as a whole, Vandy might be a little bit more talented than UT is at this point in time. Meaning guys that have been through it, guys that understands, you know, sort of how to win games, that have been in tough games for the last 3 years. So from that standpoint, I think Vandy has the edge. But I just, to me, it doesn't matter whether he wins both, lose both, split. I still believe
there's still progress.
He has this his program on the right track. And I know a lot of Vol fans will look at it, oh, you lost to Vandy. Oh, our season's dead. And I get it. I understand it. But you got to look at the big picture, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think it'll be a harder sell because you've almost increased your own product of your own expectations at that point. So, all right. Well, it should be a much better weekend in the state of Tennessee for college football than people think. By the way, tonight, Memphis SMU, that's a big game in the American Athletic Conference. That race is getting tight down the stretch. Game day is going to be at UCF.
Oh, my goodness.
All the Orlando people are having a great time right now.
You think they're going to have their national championship banners up?
I love the marketing campaign because y'all don't ever deserve to be in the playoff. All right. We'll take a break when we come back. Philly Godfather, his picks against the spread, and then our picks against the spread. So we still got a lot to do before the big finish here on ESPN. Morning Drive, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Cale, not with us, still alive, but going to be hosting the afternoon show, so not with us today. Chase McCabe also not with us, so we'll be making picks on behalf of them coming up in just a few minutes. But a guy that knows more than all of us about all this stuff, of course, is the Philly Godfather, the great Philly Godfather, joining us each and every Friday. How are you, sir?
Good, man. Good. What's going on, brother?
We're doing well. So we'll get the Titans game out of the way here because they go up to Indianapolis. Andrew Luck has never lost to this team. They've got a bad defense. The Titans are playing well. I have a bad feeling about this one, but you're the expert, so I'll ask you, what do you expect out of this Titans-Colts game?
Yeah, like you said, Andrew Luck owns this team. Game 461, 462 on your sports betting screen. Oddsmakers Offshore cracked this opening line with the 4-5 Colts as 3-point home favorites over the Titans with a combined total set at 48. And since then, we've seen a wave of early sharp money attack the screen on Mariota and his gang, which forced bookmakers to basically adjust their price all the way down to a pick'em before we saw some resistance in the market that pushed this line back up to Indy minus one as of right now. The early numbers, tickets punched from behind the counter, accumulated from every sports book in Las Vegas, is currently showing a tilted 60-40 split on this gritty Titans team as recreational sports bettors' pockets are basically gravitating towards Tennessee after that huge outright win over the Patriots at home last week as 7-point underdogs. So when we break down the metrics here on both these teams, we quickly identify that even though the Titans have the better overall record at 5-4, the Colts have the better point differential on the season. On the offensive side of the ball, Indy ranks 9 spots higher in red zone scoring, 14 in yards per rush, 10 spots higher in overall offensive efficiency, 14 higher in yards per play, and their offensive line is 27 spots better and pass protection and the adjusted sack rate. And over a recent play over the last three games, the Colts are actually averaging a little bit more than a half yard per play more than Tennessee, and they've played the better average opponent defense. They played two top 10 defenses in the Bills and the Jags. I like the Colts here at minus one. It's tough stopping Andrew Luck. Anytime, you know, he's playing, he's got a photographic memory. You got to throw some of those defensive metrics that the Titans have this year out the window because he can really pick you apart. I would lay one on the Colts here.
Now, there's two games that I'm interested in, and I want to ask you, how is the money land on these two games? One, Baltimore and Cincinnati, that has a lot of playoff implications, and then Kansas City and the Rams. I think there will be a lot of points scored in that game. Both are sitting at 9-1 right now.
Yeah, well, actually, the Cincinnati-Baltimore game is still off the board offshore and in Vegas. Mm-hmm. But if you go to Kansas City game, 475, 476 on your screen, they're playing the Rams in L.A. That game opened up 3, and we've seen some sharp money attack the screen immediately, and they laid 3 on the Rams. They just think they're the better overall team, even though Kansas City is getting some of their defensive players back. L.A. can score with that team, but their defense is just so much better. The combined total was at 63.5, and we've actually – seen a slight drop off down to 63 to some of the sharper offshore books like Pinnacle and BetCris, while out in Vegas it's basically hasn't moved. So the early sharp money has been on the Rams, and they've actually went a little bit under on that total. But you got to remember, you know, a majority of the bets come in on game day from the recreational better. So those, you know, lines are subject to change. If you want to go to a game, you guys want to do Vikings Bears?
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that game right now. I was going to ask you about that game because I think that has playoff implications as well.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Game 457, 458 on your screen. The Vikings come to Soldier Field off a bye, well-rested, to battle the NFC North divisional leader, Chicago Bears. Both teams have made the recreational sports better a lot of money this year by outperforming the market up to this point of the season. The Bears currently have the third-best record against the closing Vegas spread at 6-3, while the Vikings have sneaked up right behind them and covered the number 62.5% of the time, which equates to a 5-3-1 clip against the number. Moving on to this game's line history, Oddsmakers Offshore popped this opening number with the Bears being a 3-point favorite. And since then, we've seen this line bounce back and forth to as low as minus 2.5 and as high as Chicago minus 3, juiced at 125 during the week. As of right now, the sharper offshore books have the Bears laying 2.5 minus 115, while some of the slow-moving square shops in Vegas are still hanging the 3 even money on Chicago. When we take a glimpse at the early market reports, the Vikings have surprisingly received right around 62% of the love by the average Joe when it comes to overall tickets placed in the islands and out in the desert, regardless of the fact that the Bears have the better straight-up record and the fourth-best point differential in the NFL. Some semi-sharp money did, however, hit the screen on the Vikings on Tuesday, but I know the group that bet it, and their NFL sides lose more than they win. Moving forward, when we look at recent play, the Vikings have won 4 of the last 5 games, which looks great to the naked eye. But the reality is they haven't beaten a team with a winning record and lost to the Saints by double digits. Think about the opponents the Vikings have beaten over that stretch, the Eagles, the Cardinals, the Jets, and Lions. All 4 opponents' offenses have a stench to them. Not one of those squads in the top 20 in offensive yards per play. Those teams have absolutely no explosiveness, as all 4 rank in the basement and points per play, and points per game. The bottom line here is Chicago ranks 3 spots higher in offensive yards per play and have played the better average opponent defenses. And on the other side of the ball, the Bears have given up the 3rd least opponent yards per play in the NFL, which ranks 5 spots higher than Minnesota, while their average opponent offenses are ranked exactly the same. Chicago's defense has led up to 4th least opponent points per game, 7 spots better than Minnesota. I like the Bears here, minus 2.5. Chicago has the 5th best home record in the NFL at 4-1. It's going to be freezing at kickoff. And for any of you handicappers out there that believe the slight edge towards the Vegas spread with the Vikings, with the Vikings coming off a bye here, in my opinion, is outweighed by the fact that historically the soft dome team's performance, their splits, drops off when they're not playing inside the cozy confines of USA Bank Stadium. I know the Vikings are out rushing opponents this year by 3 yards per game, but Chicago is plus 36. In per-game rushing yards, and teams that win the ground war are 108-38 straight up and have covered the Vegas line 71.5% of the time this season. That's 103-41 against the spread. I love the Bears here and the under 45.
Philly Godfather joining us here. All your best bets against the spread this weekend. Now, I dug myself a hole in college, Philly, this year, but I'm like 9-3 in the last 2 weeks. I'm creeping back to 500. I got 2 weeks to get up over that 50% mark for the season. So help me out here. Top 2 or 3 college picks of the weekend.
Top 2 or 3. Okay, I didn't handicap these games, but I know there's some real sharp money on the Pinstripes this week. Notre Dame laying 10. I think you can grab some money against Syracuse. There's still some 10s out there in the market. Some of the sharper books have gone to 10.5. on that game, and we also bet the over now. When it opened 63.5, there's still some 65s out there. We like Notre Dame. Let me see another good game I can give you guys. Mississippi Vanderbilt. We laid some 2.5. We got the better of the number here in Vandy. They're playing Mississippi at home. The line's basically painted 3 at most shops in Vegas offshore. There's still a couple 2.5s out there, so you want to get the best of the number here, right below that key number of 3, because as we all know, the majority of these games do fall on that number. And is there any particular game you're looking for? Any help on? Or?
No, I just need all of the help, Philly. that's my problem. Man. No, you're good. Listen, I went 5-0 last week. I went 4-1 the week before, so I'm making my comeback. But I just got 2 more weeks. I'm gonna keep going with it here. I'll see what I can do. I'll take a couple of those pieces of advice. But for you gamblers out there, Philly Godfather's the place to be. Tell everybody where they can find you, man.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Philly Godfather. You can go to our website, thephillygodfather.com. I do appearances on Fox Business all the time, ESPN Radio across the country. So make sure you check me out.
Hey, Philly, quickly, is there odds? Has there been any odds on Le'Veon Bell and where he will end up this offseason?
There's a bunch of odds out there. But to be honest, I mean, I'm gonna stay away from that because it's such an ugly situation that's going on there. I know I've been here. You know, I'm good friends with the Eagles organization, and they're actually talking about making a move to try and grab him because their rushing department has been horrible this year, and they need some kind of spark on that team, something to get them going. They need a game changer on offense. I know they picked up Tate, but Le'Veon Bell would be huge.
Philly Godfather, man. There's the man, the myth, the legend right there. We appreciate it, dude. Thanks a lot, man.
Have a great one, man.
Yep.
Absolutely. So there are your picks from Philly. He's the expert. The non-experts, the amateurs, those of us on Morning Drive.
Yes.
Here's the updated standings. Derek Mason coming back to earth, 5-5 last week.
I'm still the Nick Saban of this thing.
Nick, 5-1 last week, up to 60% for the season. I went 5-1 last week. Chaser went 5-4. I do have some picks from Nick to get you guys. I am still, of course, 1-0 and undefeated in my NFL predictions. So I can't help you because I'm not going to make another pick. But I am undefeated. I just want to let y'all know that I am, in fact, undefeated. You know who else is undefeated? Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. They've never been beaten. They have a tough strength of schedule. They got efficiency on offense, yards per play on defense, phenomenal. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. They will defend your house, and they got a great offense for any problems you've got in your house. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, guys, I'm telling you, the strength of schedule is great. They play all over the mid-state area. They have absolutely everything you could possibly need, whether it's a small repair for your house. And listen, I had to scrape my windshields this morning when I got up because the weather's starting to change. You all know it. That means you need to get your house checked out. If you've already joined the Comfort Club, $99, you get checkups every 6 months to make sure your house is healthy and running well, which will help you prevent the costly repair in the wintertime. But if you haven't done that, let them be your emergency plan, because right now is when you're going to have some home issues in the dead of wintertime, and you're going to have the in-laws over. It's going to be cold. It's going to be Christmas time, and you're going to need to get it fixed right away. They will offer you great financing options. They will present you with all the repair or replacement options, and they'll make sure that it doesn't kill your bank account or your holiday spirit. They'll make sure to take care of you. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, locally owned, over almost two decades of experience in Middle Tennessee, so they know your home. They know the weather here. They know what it takes to have an efficient home and an efficient bank account. They'll take care of your financing. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. SpringHillAC.com is the website. Check them out. SpringHillAC.com. Join 102.5 The Game's Me and watch MTSU take on Kentucky and Tennessee take on Missouri at Beyond the Edge, of course, tomorrow from 1 to 3 p.m. for our college football watch party. Got great food, great drink specials, Pickers Vodka, Music City Light Beer, all the great televisions you'd ever need for all the best games from all over the country tomorrow. But in particular, Tennessee-Missouri, big one tomorrow. Mm-hmm. MTSU-Kentucky, of course, as well. So swing on by tomorrow and hang out. Great spot to watch college football. Or the Predators. Stick around until that night and, you know, watch all night from 1 until the Predators, and then you need to take an Uber home. So it's okay. That's why we got this. That's why we got this.
That's why we got Ubers.
Yeah. All right, boys. Time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Friday.
Pigskin Pick'em starts now. For entertainment purposes only.
Bumbling, bumbling, stumbling. Here we go.
That goes double for you knuckleheads. Nick, Chase, yeah, you know who you are.
Let's go now. Let's go now.
All right, boys, here's the deal. I read off the records. Derek Mason still in first place at 68%. Nick Kale in second at 60%. Chaser at 53%. Now I'm starting to creep back into the race here. 48%. Still not good. Still not good, but a couple of good weeks for me. So I'm going to brag when I got a chance because I haven't had too many opportunities. But Derek Mason as the first place leader. And do we have a special guest picker, Nick Kale, joining us?
Do we?
I am here, gentlemen. I have come off the bus. I've got the headgear selections. We're ready to go.
Oh, my gosh. I miss your voice
hello,
so much.
Nick. How are you?
I never thought I'd say that to another man, but I miss your voice, Nick.
I miss you too, fellas.
All right, D-Mace, you're first, brother.
All right, I'm going to start at the bottom end of the spectrum here, and it's off the grid, so you guys are going to have to pay attention to this.
I wouldn't expect anything else
from
you.
I'm going with Arkansas – Pine Bluff, Texas Southern.
No, jeez.
68 points is the over-under. I'm going with the under, fellas.
Oh, my God.
I'm going with the under. Yes, I took it there. I took it there.
Where is Texas Southern located? Where Texas Southern
in the
is
southern part of Texas.
Oh, where's Arkansas goodness. Pine Bluff located?
Somewhere in Arkansas in the Bluffs.
I don't think Pine Bluff is a city.
They're located somewhere in the Bluffs.
Oh,
all right, so then we kind of scroll back up, and this is going to be another just off the cuff.
You do you, brother.
Okay, Stony Brook.
I love it.
The powerful Stony Brook versus Albany. You should know about Albany, shouldn't you? Nick, that's somewhere in
New
York.
I believe.
Yeah, you know those parts. The over-under is 18 points.
Oh, my God.
18
You're
points.
You're going over.
I'm going over. I'm taking the over on Stony Brook.
An 18?
Yes.
An 18? How bad are those offenses?
They're very bad. All right, now let's get to the real stuff, all right?
Holy moly.
A&M, UAB, this is going to be a good game.
Over-under.
Is 45.5. I'm going under. I think a lot of these points, I think it'll be a low contested game.
Bill Clark's done a great job with UAB this year.
Absolutely. And then Jimbo, I don't know what he's doing at Texas A&M. Okay. So I got that one. I'm going with Texas Christian, TCU, Baylor, 52.5. It's the over under. I'm going under on that one.
Ooh. Big rivalry there.
Yes. Arizona State, Oregon.
It's a good football game.
Yes, I think
Arizona State still controls its own destiny in the Pac-12
absolutely.
South.
Absolutely, 64.5. I mean, 64 is the under, and on all books, 64 is sitting. That's where it's sitting. Ooh, so I'm going the under.
Listen to you.
I'm going the under with the 64. Stanford, California.
The big game.
That's a big game. 45 over under, and it seems like that's the way it is across all the books. 45.5. I'm going under 45 in that game. Let's move up because I need to get back up in the 70s. UT,
oh,
Missouri.
Stop.
UT, Missouri. 57 is the over-under. Okay, some books have it 55. Some books have it 56. But we're going to go with the 57, and I am going under 57.
I'm glad you didn't go 55 and go under because that would be stupid.
Yeah, I'm going the under at 57. And last but not least.
Thank God.
We're going with – you know how I do my picks.
He's
you
just
know
like
how I do my
scroll.
Picks.
People, yeah. He's hit 68%
Indiana,
by just like doing this.
Indiana, Michigan. I think this is going to be lopsided. The over-under is 53.5 across the board.
They're favored by 28, I think.
Yeah, no. I'm going with the under. I think Michigan scores 30 points.
All right, enough out of you.
But Indiana don't score anything. So, people, there's my picks.
Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Texas Southern, 68. Take the under.
You roll with me, you roll
Stony,
out a winner.
I'm more interested in Stony Brook, Albany, because the over-under is 18. Is he reading that right, Nick?
That can't be right.
It is right. They got the over-under.
Are you sure that's
18.
Not the point spread?
No.
Please tell me you got it wrong.
No, it was wrong. 44.5 is over under. I'm taking the under. It was 44.5 to
He's
under.
The
point
over
spread
18.
Is 18. Yeah.
That should be two losses right there
18.
For just reading that wrong.
Yeah, no, you should
hush
get...
your mouth. Hush your mouth.
I mean, I'm with Nick on this.
No, hush your mouth. No.
Right.
44.5, I'm going with the under.
All right, Kale, 60% for the year after a 5-1 week. What you got this week, man?
All right, boys. 5-1 last week, 13-2 the last three. I'm coming for you, Mason. I'm coming for
no,
you.
No, you're not.
Here we go. Give me the Vols plus 6 at home against Mizzou. I'm not calling for the outright win, but I'll take the points. Syracuse plus 10.5 at Yankee Stadium against Notre
Dame.
That's a lot
of points.
I think it's two reasons why I'm taking the Cuse. One, I believe in Geno Babers. And two, these ridiculous Notre Dame uniforms should not allow a cover.
Are they wearing? They're not wearing the green ones again, are they?
I think they're wearing the pinstripe look this
week.
They're
wearing the pinstripe.
Oh,
yeah, pinstripe.
Right.
It's absurd.
Oh, God. Your boy Philly liked Notre Dame, by the way.
Sometimes the experts are wrong.
That's true.
Give me Texas minus 3.
Ooh.
Small line at home. Okay. I will take West Virginia. I'll lay the 5 on the road at Oklahoma State.
Upset alert there.
And I'm going to jump on Vandy this week. I'm going to pinch my nose and hold my breath for 3 hours. Minus 2.5 against Ole Miss. High school game.
All right, so there you go. You like the Vols taking the points there. Cuse plus the points. Texas laying the points in a really important game in the Big 12. The winner of that game could have a tiebreaker and to get into the Big 12 championship game. So that's a huge game for Iowa State and Texas. Obviously, West Virginia is still trying to get into the playoff spot, laying the points there, and Vandy minus the points. Here's the question, since Chase is up next, and we don't have picks, and he's not in the studio, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal. Nick, give me your three or four toughest picks on the board, the ones that you would never gamble on, ooh, and we're going to give those to Chase because he's not here to do it. If he didn't submit picks, we got to do something for him.
I think we just pencil him in for an 0-5 week.
Yeah.
I think we need to at least put some picks down, but why don't we give him the toughest possible ones? Like,
well, what are they? Because
I don't know. You're the expert. When you look at a point spread, you're like, no way, I'm not touching that.
Oh God, Well, why don't you make your picks and I'll look real quickly.
All right, yeah, you do that. All right, here we go. Coming up, I am also taking Syracuse plus the 10.5. I think they could win outright. Syracuse has been a very good football team. They almost beat Clemson. I think that team is better than people think, and I think Notre Dame offensively is struggling. It should be a very interesting game in a baseball stadium. So I'll take Syracuse plus the points. Baylor-TCU. TCU is an absolute dumpster fire right now. I will take Baylor minus 1.5. I think they win outright. They've been playing good football under Matt Rhule, and I think Baylor wins that one in a nice rivalry game there. But TCU's been atrocious. So give me Baylor plus the minus 1.5. I'm actually going against you, Kale, on this one. I like Iowa State to win outright in Texas. Texas is a good football team. They can score. But Iowa State defensively completely shut down Will Grier. They are one of the better teams. They've won, I think, 6 straight maybe 5 straight. They have not lost in quite some time. And Iowa State still thinks they can get into the Big 12 championship game. That's a very, very well-coached team with Matt Campbell at the helm. So give me Iowa State plus 3. I am going to go Missouri minus the 6. I just think it's a bad matchup for Tennessee, and basically I'm trying to gamble the Tennessee Volunteers into victories at this point, so I just keep picking against them and keep picking spreads against them, so that means that when I'm wrong, that means Tennessee fans win. That's what I'm trying to do here for you guys. I'm willing to put my record on the line to help your team win. That's what I'm doing here. So I like that one. And I'll take West Virginia minus the 5 as well. I think that's a really dangerous game on the road against Oklahoma State, but I think Oklahoma State, They got their last bit of energy out of them against Oklahoma last week, and they almost won that game. Came up just short on a play that they should have made to win the game and beat Oklahoma. There cannot help but be a letdown, and now you got to play Will Grier. I like West Virginia to win big in that one. So give me the Mountaineers minus 5 in that one. What do you think you got here, Nick, for Chaser?
All right, give the Constable these 3 because I think these ones really stink. Give me Kentucky. let's go with the Wildcats. They're laying 16.5 against Middle Tennessee State. MTSU is playing well. We know Kentucky's deflated. I would never touch that line because that line says Kentucky, but I would never bet on Kentucky. So give me Kentucky minus 16.5 for the Constable. Let's go Maryland plus 14.5. Against Ohio State. That's another one that I would never touch. So that's for Chase McUrban. And then lastly, how about Derek Mason's boys, Sparty, on the road? So let's go with the Constable with Nebraska getting 1 point at home against Michigan State.
I there's a lot of people picking Nebraska to win that game outright. And there's a really small spread, so we'll see about that.
Okay.
Adrian Martinez can score now. That kid is that quarterback that should have been a Tennessee Volunteer.
Yeah.
Is a Nebraska quarterback. He has had a great second half to the season. He's extremely talented and is going to be a very dangerous player for Scott Frost at Nebraska. All right, NFL picks quickly here, Nick.
Let's see here real quickly. NFL, we got 4. Give me the Rams minus 2.5 against the Kansas City Chiefs. Give me the Philadelphia Eagles plus 8.5. I'm going to hold my nose on that one. That's a complete homer pick against the Saints. Give me the Tennessee Titans plus 2 against the Colts, like the Titans outright this week. And then the Vikings plus 2.5 against the Chicago Bears. And by the way, can you guys bring me some biscuits back from Kitchen Notes?
Yes, we can do that. So here's what we're going to do for Chase's NFL picks. They're going to be the exact opposite of yours.
Okay.
So you got the Rams against the Chiefs, right?
That's
minus
correct.
2.5. So I'm giving him the Chiefs plus 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
You got Philly plus 8.5 against New Orleans. He gets New Orleans minus 8.5. You got the Titans plus 2. He's got the Colts minus 2. You get the Vikings plus 2.5. He gets the Bears minus 2.5.
Sounds good.
So there you go. No, now Constable's trying to text and tell us.
No, it's too late.
No.
Too late.
Picks
too
are
late.
In. Picks too are late. In. Grid's done. Yeah.
Go back
Grid's
to bed, done. Chase.
Picks are in. Picks are in. Chaser, sorry, bro. Sorry. Big finish when we come back. Thank you, Nick, for joining us and giving us a few minutes of your time.
We do
appreciate
you
showing up on your own
miss
show.
You, Nick. Miss you, Nick.
We do appreciate that. Big finish when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN 1025 The Game.
We've had a big show. And now it's time for a big finish on Morning Drive.
Today's big finish brought to you by Kitchen Notes, baby, and those wonderful, beautiful biscuits that they've got. Love a good plate of biscuits. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here. Of course, if you're ever downtown, you need a little breakfast, make sure you pop in to Kitchen Notes here at the Yomni Nashville Hotel. Always great. And just make sure that Chase and Nick know how deliciously we ate today. The candied pecan pancakes,
and fried egg
sandwich with avocado, and grits and biscuits and blueberry sausage. The whole thing, delicious. And I just don't feel bad that Chase and Nick didn't get any. All right, now time for the Daily Rewind. Let's get it going, Josh. And good morning, Smashville. Thank you for joining us here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Constable Chase McUrban not with us today either. He's busy. He is alive. He's not. He's still with us.
Another album.
Yeah, he's putting together. He's working on some riffs and some chord transitions. Could Malcolm Butler cover Eric Ebron?
Can he? Yeah,
sounds very convincing.
You know,
you're really building up my confidence in this matchup here.
Can a bear beat an alligator? I guess. You know, if he gets him out of water, and I don't know, a big grizzly versus an alligator. I guess he can win.
Missouri really can run the football, and has multiple backs that can do that, and that's why Tennessee is still going to have to be prepared to stop the run. But it's more than that. You're going to have to be prepared for Drew Lock and that passing attack.
Ekholm had the thing when they asked him, he said, what about the power play, Ecky? He said, you know what? We just have to simplify. He said, we're getting to the point where we're too many passes through the box, too many passes down and back. He says, let's just simplify this. He says, get the puck through on net. Let's look for some rebounds. Let's get somebody in front. Let's take deflections, whatever it takes, but the one word Ecky threw out there was, let's simplify it.
I picked the Titans. I don't think, you know, they lose this game. I think they match up well in all facets. This guard, Quentin Nelson, you know, he's apparently the best guard prospect ever. He's playing well, but, you know, that highlight that they showed of him hitting Brian Church last week was something that, you know, why don't you just try to make the guy miss? So I thought it was kind of funny they just stood there and let Nelson run him over. But, hey, you know, we'll see how he could do this week. And it's going to be interesting. But I think the Titans are winning.
Call my friends at Decorating Den Interiors or go online, www.decoratingden.com.
How do you think I did as a hype man?
I think that was cool.
Was that good?
Yeah, I like that, man.
I'm not very good.
You're the Flavor Flav hype man.
I don't think I'm a very good hype man.
No, you're the Flavor Flav hype man.
Like, is it the lamest middle-aged white guy thing to do, hype up decorating your interiors? Like, drapes! What's up, drapes? If you're on the lam, you got to cut no credit cards. This is easy, guys. Criminals, listen to me. Let me sit you down, criminals. Listen, no electronic transactions, cash only, right? You got to cut off your cell phone service so they can't track you anyway. You got to use nothing but...
You got to go back to old school.
It's got
to
be old school, just the way you communicate and drive. Ride, take buses, right? No plane tickets, no cars, no tracking devices, no nothing. Like, come on, guys, it's easy.
Basically, you're skinny fat.
Yes.
No, he's not fat.
I would feel uncomfortable with skin-tight clothes.
No, there's no body fat on Josh. There's just no muscle on Josh.
I guarantee you, Josh has a...
That hurts so much more than you saying I have some body fat.
Just kind of keep your head above water, play decent hockey from here on out.
Keeping your head above water.
Okay, all right.
Making a way if you can. Okay. Temporary layoff. Good times.
I am completely thrown off.
Because you said keep your head above water.
I'm aware. I don't now know what to say now that you've started singing. It's hard to make me speechless. There you have it. If you missed the first 3 hours and 45 minutes, which of course you should never do, here on Morning Drive, you do get a little taste at the end there, though.
Absolutely.
All right, what did we learn today, Josh?
Now, what we learned today.
All right, Derek. I learned that an former NFL player's muscle memory is exquisite. Uh-huh. Your muscle memory is so good.
Yes.
Because you're a finely tuned athlete, a professional all-pro, all these things, that even when we told you yesterday, we texted you this morning, and you knew it, that we were going to be at Kitchen Notes today, that your muscle memory took a right on 440 instead of a left. And you went to the wrong place this morning because of muscle memory. But you're a finely tuned athlete. You cannot be expected to just change all your ways. So I learned NFL athletes, even in post careers,
especially in the morning when you just like you're just there. The car is like you're not driving the car. The car's driving you, and it's like,
which is dangerous.
You know, you're just going where the car leads you. That's all.
And it led you towards the airport.
Exactly.
Instead of towards downtown.
Way.
But you got here.
But I got here.
And you never missed a minute.
Absolutely.
So there you go.
What I've learned today is that I feel for Ralph. We talked about Ralph.
Oh, that's right. Our guy Ralph.
The scaffold. Early in the morning.
Oh, he's working the crane on the corner of 4th and Korean Veterans.
He had
Ralph.
To climb. How many flights you think that is?
I mean, it looks like it's about 30 stories in the air.
Yeah, it's about 30 stories. So this is Ralph's morning every day, Monday through Friday, climbing 30 stories, basically.
Of just a ladder.
A ladder. That's all he's doing. A steep one at that.
A metal ladder.
And then
in the cold.
And once he's there, he's there.
He's in the elements, too.
Exactly. Once he's up there, he's up there.
He probably just – I wonder if they got like a morning Ralph and like an afternoon Ralph.
Yeah, me too.
And so he comes down at halftime and they just replace him with a new Ralph.
Hey, Ralph. Hey, Ralph.
These crane guys, man, I'm telling you, they got to go up there manually. It's crazy.
Ooh, it's bad. It's crazy. That's a tough job right there.
I feel for you, Ralph. I hope you got the app up there.
Yeah,
and
listen me too.
To 102.5 The Game while you're up there working your cranes. Is it smart to have earbuds in if you're working heavy construction machinery? I feel like you probably should be listening.
Yeah, you should because you're carrying some pretty heavy things from one place to another. So I wouldn't advise that you have earbuds.
All right. Josh, did you learn anything or do we want to go to what's on tap here tonight?
Let's just go on to what's on tap.
All right. Thank you.
It's your guide for the happenings around town and what to watch from your couch. Here's what's on tap tonight, now on Morning Drive.
Got a little college football tonight. Memphis in the state of Tennessee, of course, against SMU. That's a big one in the AAC. You got Tennessee, of course, against Missouri. Vandy, Ole Miss on Saturday. Those two, of course, come hang out with me at Beyond the Edge to watch that one, as well as the Preds Saturday night. Big one. I'll let you handle the Titans here, Derek. But the other thing, by the way, congratulations to my guy, Jacob DeGrom, on winning the Cy Young, and Mookie Betts.
Yes.
The MVP award. Congratulations.
Congrats, Mookie. You know, the city's proud of you.
Big time.
Great job. MVP.
World champion, man.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
All in one year. That's a great year for him. He's having a fabulous year.
About to get paid.
Absolutely. I love it. On tap, Titans game Sunday. Obviously, it's going to be a big game. Playoff implications, seeding.
Division title.
Division title. Yeah. Everything starts, you know, today. I mean, starts Sunday for the Tennessee Titans.
Got to exercise some demons.
Absolutely. Big game. bowl game implications start this week. Vandy, Ole Miss, and then
you got Missouri.
UT.
You got Tennessee.
I got UT. I got UT.
All right, I got Missouri.
Win this game.
I like Vandy though. I think
I got Vandy
wins.
And UT. So and then I'm gonna watch me a little basketball this weekend. You know, I'm gonna tune into a little basketball. There's college basketball coming on.
Duke is insane.
Yeah, Duke is just unbelievable, man. I'm picking them to win a national championship.
Oh, going out on a limb there, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Really going out on a limb.
I'll put a couple of shekels down on that one.
All right, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, of course, Nick and Morning Drive and Chaser, everybody back together again next week on Monday. For Josh Upton, great stuff the last 2 days, my friend. You did a great job. Excellent work there. Our on-staff engineer, of course, Schiller here hanging out as well. Thank you guys for listening. Nick Cale coming up next, which just sounds weird to say. Thank you to Kitchen Notes as well for hosting us. Have a wonderful weekend, Nashville. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, have a wonderful weekend, and I love you.